Well, good morning, or actually evening to everyone. A little flustered after that announcement. I mean, how can anyone live up to those expectations? My name is Adam Butorf, and I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from a struggle of pornography and pride. By the way, that never gets old, hearing y'all say welcome to me, because for years that was hugely terrifying to say those words. But before I dive into that, let me do a quick prayer and we'll jump in. Father, thank you so much that as some of the songs say, you are a chain breaker. And Father, thank you that this ministry here is a place where we can break those chains. We can free the bondage of sin on our lives, of guilt and shame that's wrecking us. Thank you, Father, that you love to wreck that stuff and set us free. I pray you're glorified tonight. In Christ's name, amen. Well, let me tell you a little about me. So I'm one of seven kids. I'm number six of seven, which caused for quite a bit of chaos, needless to say. And I had a pretty normal childhood growing up until about the age of eight. That's when the first time I was ever exposed to pornography. Some friends and I were in the backwoods behind the house and discovered this little tent fort, and we found these magazines. And the crazy thing about that is, innately I knew there was something wrong about it, but it kept drawing me back to it and coming back to it. And in my house, in my family, they never talked about that kind of stuff. I wasn't able to communicate that with my parents or my siblings, and that's where pornography started, and it starts early in most people's lives. And so I want to tell a little bit of story, because there's a few things that shaped my life significantly. That was one of them. And another one happened early on when I was 11 years old, a family tragedy that occurred. The sight I saw when I walked into my dad's room is something I'll never forget. My dad's throwing up blood. My mom and siblings are in a panic, grabbing towels to catch it. Shouting and knocking things over, we unsuccessfully tried to carry my 6'6" ex-Marine dad out to the car. We couldn't do it. My mom screams for 911. It seems like forever before the ambulance got there. That was a little bit of a haze getting to the hospital. But one thing I do remember is within a few days of him being in the hospital, he passed away. And then, to top that off, is 2 days after his funeral, my grandmother died. And so these were events that set me on a trajectory for the chaos that ensued for most of my life. With a large family of seven kids, you can imagine this as we lost our father devastated us emotionally. But not only devastated us emotionally, it devastated us financially as well. So we ended up leaving our house, leaving and selling everything we owned and everything I've known my whole life and moving into my grandmother's house. I shared a room with my three brothers. Just get that visual for a minute. Four boys in one room. One's enough, but four in a room, whew, chaos is ensuing for sure. But not only that is, those were also some times that a lot of devastation happened for me as a child, is because that's where I learned how to masturbate. I learned more about pornography because I'm in the room with a bunch of my older brothers and no father figure around. Not to mention on top of that, for the 2 years after losing my dad, I hardly ever saw my mom because she hadn't worked in 20 years. And so now she's going to work three full-time jobs to support all of us seven kids. Man, whew, to think about those days. And I say that to give you perspective. Because as traumatic as that was, we were still a close-knit family and pretty close and drawn together. And this struggle of pornography was off and on until my adulthood when this thing called the internet came out. Now, I just lost every millennial in the room, or anyone under age 30. Internet's not always been there, okay? Great tool, it's wonderful. Also very dangerous and devastating, if it led to be. And so this fostered a huge struggle. Now it could be totally 100% private in your own home. And that's where it just ravaged my life. So this opened me up to some deadly stuff. From that, as I got older, I had inappropriate relationships with women based on the fact of my struggle with pornography in the privacy of my own home. which also fed into the aspect of I'm not worthy enough, I'm not good enough, I don't have what it takes, which the truth is the core struggle that I have is I am not good enough. I'm not man enough. I don't have what it takes. When I feel that, that's when I want to just run, escape, and do anything but except feel that. And the challenge is the fact that I'm not trusting God when I'm really struggling with my own self-worth and self-identity. So these things wrecked that. I had a relationship with God. So I grew up in a Christian home, so I had a relationship with God. But I always viewed God as this like distant dad who, you know, was okay with me as long as I performed well, but if I didn't, that's when he came in like a hammer. And so I struggled with this performance-based love from a Heavenly Father I rarely, really even knew. That led to some of my lowest moments because, you know, the times of sobriety, I would do really well and things would be well. But invariably, when I get lonely, depressed, having a tough time, I would default back to this thing called pornography. The problem with this false reality is you have to come out of it. And when I'd come out of this reality, the wreckage and damage and the guilt and the shame was left. And so here I am struggling with a God who I feel like wants me to perform and I'm not performing well. And so I was just wrecking havoc all over. This is a roller coaster life, if you will. So I wrestle with a lot of the same things most of us wrestle with. It's this idea that I see other people's outside of the exterior of their life, their Facebook life, I like to call it, and compare that to my internal struggles and internal insecurities. And because of that, I never measured up, which made me feel even more worthless and more unlovable. And I had moments of sobriety in my own strength. But apart from this ministry specifically and an intimate walk with Christ, there was no sobriety for any length of time. You see, because I thought that if you really knew me, really knew the real me, the struggles, the things I had done, the things where my thought life goes, that you wouldn't want anything to do with me. Can anybody relate? Yeah. And I wrestle with that on a consistent basis. I like this thought. You know, one time a pastor here said, he said, you know, if you knew the thoughts in my mind, you wouldn't let me pastor you at all. But conversely, if I knew your thoughts, I wouldn't let you in the door. The truth is we all wrestle with these thoughts in our head. And that's where recovery in Christ comes from. Because I had to change what I call my stinking thinking. I had to change what the evil, the Satan one was telling me my head. Don't tell anybody. Keep it a secret. You can't ever share anything. So we start going to this new church called Watermark. Kind of up and coming, small thing, nothing big, probably about as big as this room, actually a lot smaller than this room, now that I'm thinking about it, when we first started. And then my close friend, joined this new ministry called Recovery. You see, most of y'all, when y'all came here for the first time, you had the courage and the strength to come because you know you needed to come. I didn't have that. I didn't come here because when I first came from my issues, I came to hear someone else share his story. My friend shared his testimony. And let me tell you, it rocked my world. God met me here like I had never seen before, ever. And I heard people open up and be vulnerable and talk about things nobody talked about, ever. And shared struggles and were real. I was drawn to it. And I'll never forget, the first time I walked in, maybe about 15 people total, in recovery, this ministry, leaders and everybody. So you couldn't hide out there for sure. Walking in thinking, man, who's gonna recognize me? Who am I gonna know there? I kept thinking, hello, they're here too. So be at rest, we're all here together. but sitting in that recovery and as it started in, I'll never forget the very first time I spoke the words. The words came out of my mouth. My name's Adam, and I struggle with pornography. Because I got to be honest, I thought I was going to take it to the grave with me. I never thought I would tell anybody ever. Let me tell you something. There's something unbelievably freeing. Scripture says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I've never had such healing. I'd never experienced God in that way. See, I'd heard God about God being this loving, faithful Father and forgiving, but I'd never experienced it until I sat there and shared my junk, as we do every Tuesday night. And people love me and care about me and don't take off running away. They draw closer in. The more I share, the more they draw in. And that's what this place has done for me specifically. It blew me away, grabbed my heart. My view of God was all messed up. Here at Regen, I realized my view of God had to change, because the view of God will determine everything about your relationship with him. Who here has ever told yourself this? Physically, the words, I'm not good enough. I don't have what it takes. If they really knew, they would run. We all have, in some form or fashion. But I want to remind you what God says in his scripture. What my God thinks about me and what my God thinks about you. In Psalms 139:4, it says, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, even when yet there was none of them. Meaning God knew everything I had ever done, everything I was ever going to do, and loved me anyway. Jesus Christ went to a cross, on a cross, knowing I'm going to do all this, and did it for me anyway. And did it for every one of you too. That's the thing that rocked my world here. And then also, Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us, and that yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you're sinning, while you're spitting in his face on the cross, he says, I love you anyway. I love you still. Which I had never understood or grasped that till I came here and experienced it face to face, hand in hand, with all of you. A big breakthrough as I came through recovery was step 4. Everybody's like, fearful moral inventory. Step 4. That was fantastic for me. I discovered things I didn't even know existed. I had been sexually abused as a child. I had blocked it, didn't even realize it. Step 4 opened that up and really realized that, and I got freedom from that. I realized that I had put on this persona of what I thought people wanted to see. It was really a shell of who I actually am. And it was through inventory and walking through these steps that I've realized who I am and who God has called me to be. And I can be him and be proud of it, because I'm not defined by what I struggle with. I'm defined by a Savior who loves me. And so are you. That was recovery for me in a nutshell. Because now I have tears of joy, because before I could never share tears. I thought, as a man, you can't do those kind of things. You can't share emotions. Come to find out, man, I am an emotional guy. Don't watch a sad movie with me. I'm going to be crying through it. And I love it. I've embraced who I am. And there's such freedom there. And I want to tell you this, that if you'd have told me before recovery that I'd be doing this today, I'd have told you you're crazy. But God has different plans for them, for me and for you. But God redeemed me. He gave me a better purpose for things that I am not worthy of or feel worthy to do. I don't feel worthy to lead, to speak, but because of God, there is a plan. He uses my brokenness. Out of my brokenness, his strength is revealed. It's not about us. It's about God using us. So what's recovery like currently in Christ with me? So what's it look like now? As I've been through recovery, I've been around these circles for going on 15 years, so a long, long time. And so I know everybody's initial thought is to say, oh, you got it down, right? You got it pat, no issues. That's not the life we live in. What it looks like now. I have a deep abiding friendships, people who know me, where I am, where they never really did before. My life is so different compared to before recovery. Just one of the amazing stories is one of my closest friends is a guy I actually went through recovery with. And I helped him come out of the homosexual lifestyle. And he is one of my closest friends. The fact that I can stand before you today and talk about sexual abuse, can talk about the struggle of pornography, can talk about everything in my past, is because there's freedom. God says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Take it upon you, trust me, because you're holding a lot on yourself that you don't need to. But God, is my phrase. He had different plans for me. The statement, but God, he plans more for you than you could ever imagine, more rewarding than you could ever be worthy of. I know because I'm living part of that. I'm going to tell you what's been going on since recovery because a lot's happened to me. I've been through hell, truthfully. I call it the proverbial wasteland. Scripture kind of refers to it sometimes. 5 years ago, I lost my sister to cancer. We were super close. Two years ago, I lost my 26-year-old nephew to cancer. And more importantly, a year and a half ago, I lost my best friend and my wife to cancer. People ask me, and I think all the time, why did God do that? Why did he allow that to happen? And the truth is, I don't know. But God has been faithful to me and consistent with me day in and day out. Do I have some bad times? Oh, you better believe it. Has there been some rough patches? For sure. But because of my God and recovery and this church and people who know me, it looks a lot different than it would have, for sure. I'm thankful for the Lord. He's constantly pursuing my heart, even when I don't want to be pursued. I know he loves me. I know I share a lot of this with you for two specific reasons, but the first one is this, is before I came up here and talked a little bit about my struggles, what I've been through, the losses of recently, if you didn't know me, you probably wouldn't have thought that just seeing me on the street or seeing me in church. Once again, comparing our outside to your inside. Because the struggle of comparing is a killer for us all because it beats us up. Everyone has difficulties in life. I want to read scripture to you that specifically addresses that. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you, but what's common to man. We are not alone. You're not alone in the struggle, in the battle, in the things you wrestle with. Nothing you deal with is unique to you. There are several people and lots of people who have experienced and are going through the same thing you're going through. I want to ask something of everyone here tonight. I want you to do something for me tonight, for yourself, and for the person sitting next to you. Not a big thing, but a small thing. If you currently have had any of the struggles I'm about to list, have wrestled with them, dealt with them, or in some past dealing with it now, I want you to do this. When I list the struggle, all I want you to do is just stand. Stand quietly, don't say anything, but just to stand. And so stand up if you've had any struggles with pornography. Stand up if you've had any struggles with lust, been through an abortion, anger, depression, overeating. Stand up if you had struggles with same-sex attraction, cutting yourself, codependency, body image, eating disorders, fear, anxiety. Stand up if you struggle with gambling, guilt, shame, fear. Stand up if you've had any issues with sexual abuse, substance abuse, alcohol abuse, or arrogance. And I just want to tell you, look around. You're in good company. Praise the Lord. You're not alone in this. Stop feeling like the burden is all on you. You are not alone. The Lord is here for you, and so are we. Welcome to Regen. My name's Adam, and I have a new life in Christ.